Tony, it's all over. Transfer window has closed. What's your overriding emotion now? Is it a sense of relief or is it excitement about having assembled the squad of players you've got?
Well, it was certainly a different sort of transfer window for us. It was the toughest I've had in the 5 years as I've been chairman. The relief was that on the last day I was in meetings and I was out at the pub in the evening. I didn't get a phone call, so that was nice and easy. We did our business a few days before that. So it wasn't that easy. It was a difficult start. It's always going to be more difficult in a World Cup year. It was more difficult because we had a change of manager, so we had to understand exactly what Sammy needed. He had to be comfortable with the players. It's absolutely key that he's... we're getting in the players that he wants for his style of play. But we certainly expected to have one or two more signings in place for the start of the season. And on top of that, we didn't expect either Dale Stevens or Solly March to miss the start of the season. So it was really difficult for everyone. It was very difficult for Sammy, but he handled it extremely well. And we were delighted to be in the position we're in. As I've been saying all along, although it was peaks and troughs along the way, we have a very good squad and one which I think has got a good chance of doing well this season.
Because you said, judge me at the beginning of September, do you feel sort of vindicated by those words a month or so ago?
Yeah, well, that's up to the fans to judge, but probably it's better for the fans to judge at the end of the season, which is obviously difficult to say. Things happen during the season, but I genuinely think we have a good chance of having a very successful season. And we've got a great set of players, we've got really good competition for places, and a really good mentality in the squad. We've now got the new training ground, so I really think... with Sammy and with Nathan and Joaquin, who have done really well as well, I think things look very positive for this season.
Were you a little bit hurt by some of the criticism that was aimed at maybe parts of the management team at the beginning of the transfer window?
Yeah, there's criticism of David Burt, which is totally unfair. He has been working around the clock. He's now on a few days' holiday, and good luck to him, for 2 or 3 months. There's a lot of pressure on it and a lot of things which don't quite work out. So we didn't get every single player that we were after. We got the majority of the ones. And that is not down to David. It's sometimes circumstances or certain clubs not wanting to sell to us for certain reasons. And sometimes the player, you know, getting an offer from a Premiership club. Those things do happen. So therefore, we've just got to be very organised. We've got to not overreact to situations, to stay calm. And I, for one, you know, I'm not so worried about what the fans think during a transfer. And I'm just going to make sure that I do what's best for the football club. And if there's short-term criticism, that's fine. But it's certainly unfair when other employees in the organisation are doing a really good job and working very hard and getting unfair criticism. But the key thing is that we do the right thing for the football club. That's always overriding. Even if in the short term some fans get a bit concerned, which I can understand, and get frustrated that they don't know what's going on. Because as a fan, I would also want to know what's going on. But for the good of the football club, it's really important that fans and no one knows what's going on, because when things are in the public domain, as did happen once or twice, things can get scuppered.
And Stephen Ward maybe is an example of that.
If things have been a bit, you know, lower key there, and we always try to make it as low key as we can, then perhaps it's totally not in the football club's interests or actually in the fans' interests in the longer term for anything to come out before a deal is 100% signed, sealed and delivered. And we've all seen that we can be 99% of the way there, but it not go over the line. So I've always had that policy. I have made no apology for having that policy, and I will continue to have that policy, that our signings, potential signings, our talks are kept very much within the club until something is definitive and we've got something definitive to say.
Because you've gone for a variety of different types of deals as well, haven't you? You've got frees, you've got loans, you've got permanent signings. Is that a big factor when you're signing players, as well as the likes of wages and things like that? But you're sort of spreading that sort of, I suppose, load across different types of deals.
We look at every possible deal. We look at each on its own merits. Now, what we wouldn't want to do is perhaps get six or seven loans in. It's very unlikely we would do that. But certainly two or three long-term loans is something we regularly do, and is very good because we've gained three very good Premiership players, which is going to really help the football club, which wouldn't always be possible if you don't get loan signings in. And obviously we've bought some players on long-term deals, which is really good for the football club. So you just need to have a balance, and obviously at the end of each season there will be some players out of contract, which we don't offer new contracts to, which allows new players to come in. I think this season we've had more go than we would normally have and more come in, but you always need to have that balance. And I think it was the right thing to do at the end of last season, particularly with the new manager coming in. It caused a bit of short-term pain because we were a bit light of players in pre-season and for the early couple of games, but now I think we're in a very good position.
Obviously, you mentioned the players that have gone. Some of them are very high profile and have gone to the Premier League for quite a large amount of money. What about that money in terms of where has it gone? What has it been invested in? Is it into those new signings? Is it into wages? Or is it a bit of both and it's some of it's gone into the bottom line?
Well, I think, as you say, it is a mixture. And we have got... we did sell some of our high-profile players at a very good price. We didn't want to lose our best players, but Leo... we got a tremendous offer for him, and we wish him the best of luck in the Premier League. He was desperate to play in the Premier League. We're not going to stand in his way as long as we get the right deal. Would we have liked him to still be at Brighton? Yes, but at that money, and given the player wants to go, you just can't stand in their way. We just got to make sure it's the best possible deal for the football club. So we invest some of that money, but some of the money we didn't spend it all, and some of that pays some of our huge costs we have here.
And is that partly to do with financial fair play and getting the debt down as well come December?
It helps with financial fair play, but it's not the main thing. I mean, we lose a lot of money each year, approximately 10 million. So if we can reduce that as well, but still have a very good squad, that's even better.
Mm. Did you have to fend off interest in other players as well?
No, there was interest this season for Leo and for Will Buckley, and those are the two which went.
Hmm. In terms of what you have got then, looking forward, has Sammy got what he needs, what he wants now going into the sort of second month of the season?
Yes, Sammy's very content where he is. I mean, it's still early days to see how the squad will hopefully gel a lot as the season progresses. This two-week break has been really good for Sammy personally, for the squad. There's seven new players in the last two or three weeks, so that would be a really good time to get them training in a way that Sammy wants them to, playing in a certain way, to make sure that they're ready for Brentford and Ipswich away coming up. And I think he's very excited about the season ahead. And if necessary during the season or in January, there's always the potential for new players. But it all depends on how our players are doing and if we have any more injuries.
Because you've always been, someone who doesn't like to invest in the January window. Does that remain the case, and that it would only be in case of injuries that you would actually change that policy?
Not just for injuries. I mean, it's certainly the case that I'm not mad about the January window, but if needs must, and depending on many factors, I'm open to doing business in January. But I'd much prefer most of the business, if not all of the business, to be done in the summer.
Mm. In terms of an insight into what it's like for you, I know it's a team of people that try and bring in players into the football club, but are there any examples that you can talk about in terms of the challenges that the club have had to experience over the last 3 or 4 weeks that maybe, have either scuppered deals or that you've actually managed to overcome to bring players into the club?
Well, there's always, whenever there's a deal to bring in a player, there's so many different factors, like whether the player wants to come, whether his family situation allows coming to live in Brighton suits them. The agent's often involved and discussing things with the player. The player's family may have an input. Then you've got, if he's contracted to another club, you've got to agree a transfer fee, which can be complicated, particularly if the club doesn't want him to come to Brighton for an array of reasons. So every deal, you know, has its own issues. Mm. Some are more easy than others, and we're working along a lot of them alongside of each other. And sometimes we don't want to go for a certain player until we know about another one. And so it really is a bit of a puzzle that we do. And sometimes we should do something early if we don't think that another one is realistic. But if you do, then you may wait, then you could lose a certain player. So it is quite a complicated thing. It's much more complex, I think, most fans would realise. And it's not all going to go according to plan. And the thing is, afterwards, we will have a post-mortem, you know, about how we did things and whether we can learn from things. And we're not perfect, and mistakes perhaps were made, but it's very easy looking at it after the event. But I don't think in the moment that there's very much, if anything, that I'd have done differently, or we as a team would have done differently.
Nowadays, how big an influence is wages and a wage structure and how that might fit in with this particular football club?
Well, player salaries is the biggest expense, of course, of any football club, and transfer fees as well. So it's massively important. And you know, the better players, the top players that we're after for the championship are in demand, and so it's a big factor. And it's not easy, given that the player salaries are this high, and the revenues the club are bringing in are not nearly high enough at the championship level. So it's extremely difficult, and we continually are doing our very best within our financial parameters to get into the Premier League, and the things don't balance up. They will do, certainly, even when we get to the Premier League, but until that point it is very difficult. Plus we're fighting against our competitors in the Championship, 10 of whom have parachute payments ranging from £9 million to £23 million. So it is tough, but we know that, and we have to do the best that we can be in a situation, a lot of things outside of our control, so we concentrate on things which are in our control.
How mindful then do you have to be about the players that are currently at the club if you bring someone in on particularly high wages and the negative impact that might have on them to be a disruptive influence?
Yeah, well, we're not necessarily into marquee signings per se. We're not Real Madrid. I mean, we want to get in signings who are going to have a big impact for us, some perhaps more than others. But I think at every football club, or most football clubs, you're going to have a big disparity between some of the higher earners and some of the lower ones. So as long as we're doing it for a reason, I mean, players, certainly at this football club, want new players to come in who are going to have a positive impact to help us get to the Premier League. Then that helps them. So I don't think that's an issue here. I mean, obviously, players typically always want to better themselves and perhaps earn a bit more money, and we're as fair as we can be, but within our financial parameters. Mm.
Obviously, in terms of the window is shut, but you have slightly changed around the sort of the talent spotting and the scouting network within the club. How happy are you with who you've brought in and how you've adjusted that? You managed the management team, obviously, with Nathan and Joachim, but also as well Paul and a few other the people involved in the actual recruitment of new players.
Paul Winstanley's come in the last few weeks. He's been a tremendous help. I think he's going to be a really good asset to the football club. He's already come in with a you know, running start, and it's not an easy time to come in when we were trying to recruit many players. But he's added some expertise to the team, and I certainly think he's going to be a big help for future transfer windows, and we're very happy with him so far, and he's going to be a big help to David.
Also, we haven't had a chance to speak to you since the announcement about Nathan being, you know, the number two, I suppose, and the decision not to bring in someone from outside. After what happened with Sammy Lee, how do you feel all about that? Do you feel more comfortable actually now, or you just, it's a bit of a shame that it didn't quite work out to plan initially? The lessons learned, I suppose, or at all?
Well, there's no lessons learned. I mean, Hoopier knew Sammy Lee and thought he'd be very good for Brighton. He may well have been, but he agreed, then he's gone to Southampton. So as far as I'm concerned, he's history. Mm. And Sammy's been working with Nathan and Joachim, and it's been working really well. And Nathan's been with us, you know, in the management coaching team for just over a season. He's done remarkably well. I'm really happy with him. And the key thing is, though, that Sammy is, because he was here before Sammy came in, and they're working really well together. I think it's a deserved promotion. I think it's brilliant news for this football club, and the three of them are working with Ante extremely well. So I'm confident in that structure, and the key is that Sammy is very happy with the help he's getting.
Just finally, what I've got to mention today, obviously Oscar Garcia named as the Watford manager. What have you made of his return to English football?
I don't have much to say. I mean, we're playing Watford soon, and I'm looking forward to the game.